Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Network is not responsible for the views and opinions of the guests or hosts of this show. The views and opinions expressed in this show are strictly the views and opinions of guests or hosts of this program.
Yes, that's all you get. Opinions. Welcome, morning, afternoon, evening. This is Lisa Harrison, and I know we are quite notoriously known on this show for winging it, but it's nothing compared to what we're doing today. I realised 5 minutes ago that we were going live. So we had a time zone change here in Australia. So completely unprepared. Thought I still had an hour to get ready. But wasn't to be the case. And I think we caught Chris by surprise too, did we?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. I actually sprinted in here for a different purpose and had looked at Skype and thought, well, you know what I thought? I don't have to say it out loud. So
yeah,
here
exactly.
I am.
Exactly. Same thing I thought.
Hi, everybody. I got caught by the same thing yesterday, actually, with Peter and Michael's show, which was even more drastic because that was 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, is there such a time?
Oh, not for being on air, no.
So anyhow, we're here, and I think for a five-minute warning, we've got the whole crew just about.
We do.
Well, you know, some of us were prepared.
Some of us had no change whatsoever, and we're fine. How are you, Dee?
Some of us were sweating 2 minutes before the show.
I'm wondering whether Chris and I were going to turn up.
Yes. Sorry about that, Bob.
Okay, I'm going to recommend everybody have a piece of paper and a pen handy for a couple of reasons. One, we do get a lot of emails during the week following a show saying, could I please have that link to that website or that email address or something? So please do that, but also because today I think we're going to have probably more than usual in the form of links and email addresses to hand out because there's quite a bit going on at the moment. So that's my number one suggestion for this morning. Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was actually talking a second ago to myself because I was muted. I thought everyone was just ignoring me today. That was really funny. 3 minutes before I go, Bob, I guess it's just me and you tonight, buddy. What are we going to talk about? So I'm glad that you guys made it. I have something. I always thought that the time zone changes happen at the same time for everybody around the world. So I learn something new every day. Glad you guys made it.
Thanks, Oi. Now, you put a post up today in regards to Patrick Cody. Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Patrick Cody. No, I found out 30 seconds ago, so...
Let me see here. Let me just actually pull it up. I'm going to put the link into the chat room. So anybody who's not familiar with the story of Patrick Cody Morgan, we've been covering his case, his story on the American Kabuki blog for, gosh, going on a couple months now. We originally received an email from his sister, who was letting us know that he was essentially being charged for crimes that he didn't commit. There's been some confusion in the past. There's people that thought that he got arrested and put in jail for using courtesy notices. That was absolutely not the case. He was helping people to – he worked in the financial sector, and he was helping people to – you know, training them on how to use documents to protect themselves against the courts and the system, basically helping people to beat the system. And he had, he kind of stepped in and got out of court a number of times. I think we've heard so many cases and stories just like his, especially over the course of the last few months. But finally, they ended up charging him for crimes that he didn't commit. I believe it was mortgage fraud. And so he went up against the court systems without an attorney and basically defending himself and did it very elegantly. And he was looking like he was going to get himself out of hot water and get out of the charges that were, you know, he was falsely accused of. But they came down hard on him on the day he was in court, and they ended up sentencing him to, I believe, 27 years in prison. So he's behind bars right now. He's in the penitentiary in Houston, Texas, I believe. And so Stacy has been keeping us updated with what's going on. He's has met some very interesting people inside, and through the whole process has kept a very good attitude. And he's educating people, a bunch of prisoners on the inside, on what's going on with the One People's Public Trust. And Stacy's sending him blog posts from the American Kabuki blog every day. He's printing those out, sharing those with inmates as well, and also helping inmates with their paperwork and helping them to defend themselves. So very interesting story. You can find all sorts of different blog posts that I would put on in the last, especially in the last 30 days. But the one I put up today is it contains the address where Patrick can be reached. If anybody wants to send him a message that, you know, he's supported and that, you know, we haven't forgotten about him and that we love him. Or if you want to send him any reading material, he has a lot of time, nothing to do in there whatsoever. So Stacy just sends him lots of books and magazines. So I'm going to put the link in the chat room right now. But Patrick Cody Morgan is the epitome in the description of a patriot. And he's behind bars right now, and he shouldn't be there. And, you know, it's my personal opinion that once the once things really start heating up, all these people that are behind bars for crimes they didn't commit or crimes without a victim will be set free. But in the meantime, he needs all the love and light and support that he can get in there. So if anybody is inspired to send Patrick a letter and or a book or whatever they feel like sending over his way, I'm sure he would appreciate it. Link in the chat room now.
Can you just say it out loud as well, Brian, for those who aren't on the chat room?
Oh, yeah. The mailing address is the Federal Bureau of Prisons, FBOP, Patrick Cody Morgan, which is all spelt phonetically, 09012379, I believe is his inmate number. And then the P.O. box is 526245, and it's Houston, Texas, 77052. I believe he can receive letters. I think they just go through everything that's sent in, but he can receive books, magazines, letters, boxes of chocolate. I don't really know, but I know that he'd be happy to hear from people. So if anybody wants to read about it, the post was put up today at the American Kabuki blog.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yes.
And I have a bit of an announcement for the Australian listeners. As we said last week, apparently the powers that were are getting very nervous here in Australia, thanks to everybody's doing. And there are many Australians who want to up the ante on their doing. So we're trying to coordinate some statewide flash mobs via email and post. And so we're looking for a person from each state who could act as a flash mob coordinator. And basically what that means is having a database of people who would participate, just an email list, and speaking and coordinating with the other state coordinators on the content and times and what the plan is to have everybody in their state direct emails and post to their members of parliament at a state level and also the police at a state level. And because we know that at least here in Australia, the way it works is they really only take notice of those in their state. They also take notice even of things like polls and, you know, for every letter that they receive, they know that it represents about 100 other people who feel the same way that just didn't bother writing a letter. So if they were to receive a couple of thousand from their state, they know that that represents a significant number of people who are aware, who understand, who know what's going on, that just didn't bother to write in. So they do take notice of these things. And it would be along the lines of, you know, the foreclosure flyer and other educational material. So if you're interested in participating or if you're interested in being a coordinator for your state, we have one coordinator already for Victoria. And so she will act as the initial contact point. Those of you in Victoria probably are already well aware of Lee Hu. And the email address is leehu, L-I-H-U, 74, @gmail.com. So if you're in Australia, would like to participate in flash mobs, please send an email to that address, lihu74@gmail.com. And as I said, looking for a coordinator for each state. Is anything like that happening in the states yet? Brian, that you know of?
Well, I don't know if Katrina Truelines is listening in on the call, but her and I are working together. I'm actually trying to get her in touch with the Bartles in regards to doing a big organized flash mob against with courtesy notices against Monsanto. And the idea that Katrina had to make the courtesy notice process more streamlined was to, I don't know if anybody's ever signed an Avaz campaign, but if we were able to, and this is something we could talk about with our technical team, have the fields somewhere like a portal where somebody can go and put in all of their information and the information of the recipient of the courtesy notice, and then where to type in for the witness and where to fill in for their signature. And then once they push send, it just automatically populates all of the fields that need to be included in the courtesy notice and then pops it to them electronically. I know that sending it by hard copy is the most recommended way of doing it. But if we really want to have hundreds or thousands of these things go out to back one individual campaign, having it a streamlined process like that is something that we're working on. So as far as a state-by-state basis for a coordinator, no, I mean, I love the idea. You know, I love the idea. I'm looking forward to when we'll no longer need these courtesy notices anymore, but right now we still do, so we might as well get as many of them out there as we possibly can. So if there's anybody that's interested in heading that up in their area, you can go to the optin.com website and go, I believe it's the volunteers tab, and do a submission for volunteers, and then we can coordinate that through our web creative team headed up by Holly.
Okay. And while we're on the subject of courtesy notices, we've got Scott with us this morning. We just wanted, Scott and I just wanted to have a quick word to you guys about doing variations of the courtesy notices. There's a couple of documents that have appeared which are called courtesy notices, but they're really actually cease and desist orders. And Scott, are you there?
Yes. Hi, guys.
Turned up from where? What do you mean?
Ah, well, these are people creating stuff off their own bat, which is great, really good. And, you know, we can do this stuff, but we have to distinguish the difference between the courtesy notice and what these documents are actually trying to do, which is something slightly different. So, Scott, do you want to explain?
Yeah, I think, Chris, the probably the easy identifier is the courtesy notice is putting out there, it's pointing to the foreclosure, it's also offering the terms that you're going to happy to abide by in the future. So expect an action that is the acceptance of those terms and conditions. Expect a letter that writes back saying, oh, this is all crap. Expect a letter that says, you have to do this. And each time those letters come, see them for what they really are. See them for the acceptance of your terms and conditions. So you've offered these terms and the acceptance is now coming in the door. Some of the other notices and documents that are going out there with the regard to the cease and desist are basically saying, stop. They're not offering a trade. They're not offering something that you will accept in exchange. So that's the easy identifier to see. Are we dealing with a courtesy notice, which is setting up this exchange and trade where I'm happy to accept them attempting to extort money out of me in exchange for my invoice that lobs 10,000 ounces of silver as an invoice on their desk? So there's, as you said, there's two distinct categories, and there's a few that are popping up that are more correctly identified as a cease and desist order. Points to that foreclosure and it says, oi, stop doing what you're doing. You're starting to harm, or you're continuing to harm the one people, and I'm one of them. So that's probably the major distinction. Was there anything else you had in mind there, Chris?
Yeah, just that. Just for the sake of clarity, we don't want to confuse the situation at either end. If you do want to create one of those documents, that's excellent, because they do energetically inject into the system as well, and they are similar to what Ken and yourself created last week, the foreclosure flyer, which is really Unfortunately, closure flyer is informational and also points out that, you know, you may receive one of these courtesy notices if you're involved in, you know, perpetuating the slavery system. Similarly, a cease and desist order is saying, we know you're perpetuating the slavery system. We know you're doing damage. And in that kind of cease and desist notice, you're absolutely free to say, you know, the very next step is a courtesy notice. Please cease and desist. So in that capacity, it's acting in the same manner as the what we call the foreclosure flyer, which is simply mostly informational with a little bit of an edge to it.
Yeah.
So it's really what I'm interested in doing is not confusing the people at the other end by giving them different classes of paperwork with the same name.
Yeah.
So if you just bear that in mind, but as far as putting out cease and desist orders, which refer to the OPPT's filings and putting the recipient on notice that they're doing the wrong thing by the one people and that they can expect courtesy notices, that's great. And there's ample opportunity to do that because there's ample examples of that everywhere. Anything else you want to add to that, Scott? I have one more thing to put out there after you've made your final comment.
Okay. There's a couple I've seen that attempt to, or do actually, try and contextualise a subject matter and say, you need to cease and desist on chemtrails, or you need to cease and desist on this matter, or fluoridating water. And I'd say the risk that you can run in doing that is you're focusing on the detail of what action they're doing rather than who they actually are. You kind of avoid and bypass the matter of them claiming to be government and start addressing matters on what they're doing. And you go and discuss the detail of what they're doing, and the presumption remains that they are who they claim to be. So the courtesy notice takes care of that. Anyone in government or banks pretending to be banks or government, courtesy notice is aimed straight for that. If you want to put in a cover letter something regarding context, great. I tend to treat my cover letters more like a fax transmittal notice that just itemises which documents are attached, and let the courtesy notice do its thing.
Mm. But at the same time, we've seen a couple of really nice examples of covering letters that have appeared, you know, from very creative people with a lot of passion. And the key thing about the covering letter is it really needs to pertain to what exactly the courtesy notice is about and what your communication is about. It's probably, if you write a really long covering letter, it's challenging a busy person to read something that's giving them cognitive dissonance. So
yeah.
Do keep them brief.
I've found the most effective ones are really short.
Yep.
We
have to agree.
Because the risk is that a lot of these folk that you're sending these notices to, imagine for the last 20 years or more, they've been receiving letters from the free man groups and all the rest of it. So anytime they get something in that doesn't look like everything else that they receive in on a daily basis, it goes in the crazy pile.
Yeah, that's probably quite a big pile in some offices.
Yeah, and I think it's only now when they start getting the invoices, they go, oh, no, maybe I better go back and read that one that came in last week.
Yeah, and pass it to my boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, now one of the things, actually there's two things I'll mention briefly. One of the things is that our energy consultants, guys, are saying that the conversations inside organisations have now notched up a level. And the recipients of courtesy notices, rather than keeping them quiet and just handing them up to their boss and not talking about it, everyone's talking about it inside these organisations now. And, you know, in fact, Australia's a bit of a hot spot for that, which we're really, really, you know, absolutely proud of the people out there that are doing all the work. They're a great crew. And we just encourage everybody else just to keep putting that energy into the system. That's absolutely key to getting the shift that we're after. And on the subject of email blasts in support of people who are right in the firing line, Captain Darrell of Canada, whom Dee knows, and I've had quite a bit of contact with now, and most people on the panel here have. He's sitting in a house at the moment, pretty much literally waiting for a SWAT team to turn up and re-evict him. He was evicted last week, peacefully. It was an educational process for the people who ultimately pulled him out of his property. And some days later, he specifically went back because he found that the bank had already started to steal valuable items, equipment and so forth, from two of his properties. So he's repossessed one of them and is fully expecting at some time in the next couple of days that he's going to be revisited by the crew that that he spent some hours educating last week. At this point, what we'd like to do is show our support for him. And later on today on AK and D's site, as many sites as we can get it onto, we're going to publish the details of the enforcement officers, the contact details of the enforcement officers who are unlawfully removing Daryl from his property and stealing it from him. And we want to give them a little message that the rest of the world is watching exactly what they're doing. They're not doing this in private anymore. So we'll put some details up on the site, and at this stage we're probably going to recommend for those who want to invoice these people, if you've got a burn to do that, courtesy notice, otherwise a foreclosure flyer. We encourage people to certainly write their own subject line on the email so it's different. We encourage you to put the country of origin in the subject line so they realise it's a worldwide thing, and we'll make some suggestions about a short covering letter just to show your support for Daryl. Lisa, okay, I'll kick it back to you.
Yeah, well, I think we have Heather on the line. Heather, are you there?
So,
no, she's in the Skype room, but she's...
Unmute, Heather.
Unmute. Heather, we got you? No? No audio.
Oh, no. Man.
Man. Dee, have you spoken to Daryl in the last week at all?
I spoke to him briefly this morning, and he was giving me all those details about he got forwarded a message from a friend within the local police department telling him that, yeah, basically they've assigned a SWAT team to come take care of him. Pretty cool, yep. Eh? Well, the Canadian government is so pathetic that they'll send a SWAT team, which we don't actually have SWAT teams. We don't even call them. I don't even know what the Canadian equivalent would be called. A somewhat SWAT team to a man's house to evict him.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he could take it as a compliment. They clearly see him as dangerous.
Oh, yeah, they're highly intimidated by him because he's cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
He really is. They don't faze him at all. This is a guy who's 27 years in the military. So, you know, he's used to dealing with tense situations and controversy. So the other thing I was going to actually mention, I've actually done an interview with Daryl last night, and I'll get that up onto the OPPT site and the other sites later in the day as well. It's a very interesting discussion because it goes into the history, his history. He was actually involved in an assessment of threats to Canada, which kind of turned into a paradigm report in its own right, because what he found was that the greatest threat to the sovereignty of the nation of Canada was the government of Canada and the banks of Canada. And he put that in an official report to the government.
Yes,
they didn't like that very much. In fact, one of the things they've actually done is cancel his driver's license without telling him, so they can arrest him any time he's in his car. So here's a guy who's doing some serious doing out there. And we really do want to actually support this. So I've got phones going off all over the place here. I'll mute myself and find out what's going on. Back to you, Lisa.
Okay. Dee, what's the latest on the Nisara RV situation? It's been pretty active in the last week, at least in terms of...
Yeah, it's been insane. Insane. Yeah, they're still pushing ahead. They're still pushing ahead with it. And there was supposedly a delay for it going live on Friday because one of the countries had a technical issue with their computer systems. A whole bunch of threats were made, apparently, and it's supposed to be moving forward. And yeah, it's verifiable. Let's put it this way: they're to a stage now with it that they are damned if they do, damned if they don't. That's where they are sitting right now at this point. They
and let's say they move forward with this, the reevaluation of the dinar and the dong, and what Nasara and other prosperity packages. Who gets what? I mean, it has, from what I understand, it's essentially only people who were in the know. All of it's designed, from what I can see, very much as an outsider looking in, that it's ultimately designed to benefit the corporations, especially the revaluation.
Oh, absolutely.
And anybody who's connected or happened to be in the know in regards to revaluations. Same with prosperity packages. From what I understand, they're going out to about 70 of the different sort of sovereign movement groups around the world. So if you're not a part of that, and if you've been clever and avoided paying tax, for example, you don't see a cent. Is that accurate or what?
You know what? This is the whole thing. Pretty much in a nutshell, you've summed it up. If you don't have foreign currencies in dinar or dong or Indian rupees or anything like that, obviously you're not going to make any money that way. If you weren't aware of what was going on with the farm claims and all those legal proceedings in the right up until the mid-late 90s, then you're not going to get anything through that. And if you don't happen to know someone who's personally involved with the various prosperity packages like the St. Germain Trust, there's different trusts within that trust, the Alpha, the Omega. Oh, goodness, the other two have just popped right out of my head now, the other name. Anyways, if you don't happen to know anyone there, yes. And then if you happen to be, say, 19, 20 years old, you've never had a full-time job because unemployment's really high in your area, so, maybe in your entire life you've paid $2,000 in taxes, then that's pretty much all you're going to get back.
Well, how does that make anything better at all?
It doesn't.
But aren't they supposed to be trying to create the illusion of that it's going to? I mean, that's pretty piss poor job, in my opinion.
Well, I'll give you an example.
Brian, don't forget the average person will look at that as being something really significant.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
If they're getting something,
it's going to get lots of money back in their income taxes. And if you're Joe Blow on the street, who is completely asleep and follows the mainstream media and the politics, et cetera, and all of a sudden there's an announcement made saying, "Yeah, we're going to give you back all the income taxes you've ever had, you ever paid your entire life," you're going to go woohoo, It's lovely. It's wonderful. Not realizing that it's a pittance, right? Like, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing.
There's really nothing. From what I understand, Dee, there's really nothing backing any of these prosperity packages anymore anyway, including the St. Germain Trust and all those other trust funds. There's really nothing. I mean, they might as well be getting, it's like eating those air puffs.
Yeah.
they look real big, but it's filled with.
I'm making my own currency. They're called Brian Bucks. Everybody, send me your address, and I'll go ahead and drop some of those in the mail today. All right, it's the new currency that we're now all going to be using. That's pretty much.
and you're going to back it with asset back
giggles.
Cheese puffs.
Cheerios.
Factory with
Cheerios.
Yeah.
Cheerios.
Yeah. I'm thinking of starting a currency called Bite Me Coin.
So that's it, though, Bob. You're absolutely right. They are so screwed. The light from screwed is going to take 10,000 years to reach them.
Well, I think this is probably this is where we're at right now. It's finally dawning on them that, oh my God, we're fucked. You know, I think it's finally dawning on them that there's really no way for them to keep from outing themselves. There's just no way that they can't, because they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't.
And they are. That's exactly where they are right now. They absolutely have to go forward at this point. They have no choice but to go forward at this point. Yet they can't go forward properly with any even remote transparency because they have no funding. So I was saying, I was talking this morning, I think it was Heather I was speaking to about this, and saying, so you get some guy cashing out in Reno, and let's say he had $1 million. So he's going to make X many million dollars off of that. So they're not going to hand him a suitcase full of new treasury bills, obviously. And I doubt they're going to hand him gold. So basically what they're going to hand him is a receipt that shows him a bunch of zeros in a bank account. So you tell me, and this is my thought today, it's like, so they could claim that it's asset-backed. They could say that they have the gold to back all this. But the reality of it is, it's just a bunch of zeros on a computer screen again. And they know this. Like, they know this. They don't have the assets to back any of this.
You know, last week we talked about people coming out of the woodwork with prosperity packages and new financial systems, and there's been even more in the last week.
Oh yeah.
Apparently now, guys, everybody and their dog is sitting on enough assets to establish a new financial system, and they've had them for a long, long time, hundreds if not thousands of years, and only now are they ready to do something about it. Apparently they pop up, you know, they pop their heads up every 50 years to have a look at the state of the world and then disappear again.
Yes, one must question the timing, Lisa.
And the point about that, too, is that anyone who dumps large assets, large real assets, back into the system now is only perpetuating the slavery system, and they'll steal it from you. So it's very difficult for these funds to actually even be distributed without the whole thing being disrupted. What's happening at the moment with the sort of fake Nasara / prosperity fund movement that Dee's telling us is, you know, nigh on public, is that that's actually controlled by the cabal themselves, and they're doing it almost without any funding. They're doing it because they have control of the media and they have access to a certain amount of assets, but it's not enough to make the thing actually work. The people who have the assets that could make it work don't dare put it in the system because A, it'll perpetuate the system, and B, it will get stolen. So it's very difficult at the moment.
Well, this is exactly it, right? They started the ball rolling, assuming that they would have the assets to fund all of this. That was the big assumption. Well, now they get to a point where they have no choice but to go forward, but they haven't been able to get a hold of those assets.
Well, here's a message from Heather. We don't have her on audio, but we do have her here typing away furiously. So this is from Heather on this subject. The purported infrastructure of the global accounts, RVs, prosperity programs, all of it is empty. They are hoping that the value, the meat, will be added if they set up and implement the structure. And no, the meat will not be added. Those purported elders, guardians, god kings, god queens, kingdoms, trusts, foundations behind the global accounts, RVs, prosperity programs, all of it, eternal essence embodied, successfully completed their missions, their mission to fail. Failure was required to close all the systems, hierarchies, federations, etc. forever. Thank you for your service. You did an awesome job. These systems are not and will not be revived. IUV Exchange is eternal essence, and all value that is be eternal essence and was returned to eternal essence where it came from. Thank you.
Amen.
Yep. And this is it. Like, this is what Heather was saying. Like, over the course of the last 2 weeks, people are coming forward. Groups are coming forward. So there was, we talked about it last week, this Indonesian trust fund that Daryl talked about last week on the show. This weekend, she was approached by, and I don't know if I'm saying this right, the King, Q-I-N-G, dynasty family, who want to meet with her and want to work with her. But again, all of these people really are trying to perpetuate a repeat, Shang dynasty, want to perpetuate a repeat of a system that's already in place. They just want to clean it up. They want to make it look pretty. You know, okay, they want to get all those thieves over there. You know, those guys. Let's get rid of them. But they're just going to set up the same thing over again. It's a complete repeat of what's already in place. And they're all coming to Heather now because they have no choice but to come to Heather. And it's been kind of funny, like, sitting back and listening to what's been going on, because they don't have a choice. Now they have to come forward and try and talk it out somehow.
Because the UV exchange is all there is.
That's right.
In fact, it's really, on that basis. Sorry, Dee, go ahead.
It's been declined.
Yes, offer declined. Yeah, well, on that basis, yeah. The UV exchange is the only legitimate form of exchange, you know, on paper, in theory at the moment. And it's a theory which is going to turn into reality very soon, because the only way that it can come into reality is the other system disappears.
Exactly, because we've gotten to the point where you can't fix the old system anymore. There's no, it's beyond repair. I mean, Heather figured that out at the time of the paradigm report, but it's all just now becoming totally and absolutely visible. You don't, when a system is as broken as the systems that are in place are now, you don't fix it. You just sweep it up, put it in the dust bowl, throw it away, and then put a new one behind it. That's the only way to do it.
So is there any more news on that, or can we move on from that subject? Do we need to?
Yeah, I mean, basically that's it in a nutshell. They're trying, they're pushing, they're paying people out. I don't know what's with, really, but they're trying.
Yeah, one final question, Dee. If this moves forward to become more public, how do you expect that to manifest in the media? Announcements? Just odd little stories here and there, or something, you know, a two-hour explanatory show on Fox?
Well, we know how it should play out. It should play out with, it, you know, we have been told that there is a re-education videos, hours and hours and hours of videos that have been made that are supposed to go on the air and play for 2 weeks solidly to re-educate the public about what has happened, what will happen, what is going to be happening at this very moment. Are they going to do that? That's one of the things I talk about, the contrast, right? This has to happen. You can't just all of a sudden change everything and not fully explain it, because then it is not a legitimate Nisara thing, right? Has to be fully explained. Where's the transparency? And that's what I've got everyone looking for. Just look for that transparency.
Yeah,
we just had this last comment from Heather, which is clarification. The Shang Dynasty rep was very pleasant. I really enjoy his energy, and it was represented that the Empress knows the value belongs to the people. The Empress is the individual who is purportedly the custodian of all the assets that would back this particular system, and is the great, 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 great something or other granddaughter of, who was it? Genghis Khan?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
All the people, she knows that it belongs to all the people and sees herself as the depositor distributor to get the value out. However, she is seeking validation of her position, title, etc., from the foreclosed systems. However, the energy was very good. So if all those embodiments who played the roles of the powers that were really are awake and desiring to do for the people, then they will not be attached to titles, positions, or seeking validation from foreclosed systems, and I will type that in as well.
Yeah, this is also she was going by the handle name of Q, and I believe her and Caleb even spoke at one point. So anybody that's, you know, it's really funny, everybody that's out there, we just said it a minute ago, really start to ask yourselves, why are all these people coming out now, and why are they all going to Heather and Caleb?
Mm.
Why?
Interesting question.
I wonder.
Yeah, there was a gentleman that that contacted Heather a short time ago, who's an operator inside the system and very much interacting at a high level. And one of the comments that he made when he first contacted Heather was, as far as he could work out, because he had quite a deal of experience in the UCC, that the OPPT had the only paper with value in it on the planet, meaning they're the only people who could actually, if you like, lawfully generate a financial system, should they so desire, or lawfully introduce value into the community. That's a pretty sweeping statement.
Yes, that's huge. Now, Heather just added another note here. The IUV exchange is, and for the Galactics, know there will be no more structuring of protocols beyond being and doing. So that's a note to you guys up there listening.
Mm-hmm. I've had several people tell me in the last week that we are on the must-watch list of the Palladians. This show, like, they are number one fans of this show.
welcome to any non-locals who are listening.
This is the must watch reality show.
And if any of them are skating at the moment, please be careful.
Okay, so as I said, we wing it on this show. What else is there? What other updates do we have?
Well, we could update the fact that Heather told the Galactics that, you know, now's the time for face-to-face exchange. We're not doing this channeled message crap anymore. In a nutshell. She said it much nicer, though. I'm just me.
Somebody wanted enough.
Your message, D, has gone viral. I love it. And please repeat it on air.
Which message was that, Lisa?
D knows it. Come on, Dave.
I don't know.
Fuck off, we're beacons of light message.
That's right.
That's the one.
That was viral.
I've gone into so many Skype rooms and seen people using that, and I've just been giggling my ass off. I thought Heather was going to sit me in the corner, but apparently she wants to put me on stage front and sit front row and center.
I nearly fell off my chair when I read it.
At me, though.
We do have a message from someone called Humso saying, tell them, your computer got hijacked. I don't know what that's got to do with, because if you've mentioned it before in the chat room, I haven't caught it. So can you please elaborate?
I don't know. I missed that. What was I? Say that again, Lisa?
He said, Lisa, please mention. He sent out lots of notes last night. Okay, you sent out courtesy notices, and since then you've got viruses on your computer, I think is what he's saying.
Me?
No.
Okay. I'm like, I was sleeping last night. It wasn't me, I promise.
Well, I've never heard of that happening before. Are you saying that you went to the website, downloaded all the courtesy notices, and then sent them from your own computer, from your own email client? And at that point, $500 tracking cookies on his computer. Well, I haven't heard of it happening before. I don't believe there's anything attached to it in the website or viruses or anything like that.
Were they chocolate chip or oatmeal?
Yeah, look, that sort of attack via cookies can appear anytime you click on any web page. Obviously, we'll have the web crew take a look, do a security inspection of the site just to see if anything untoward is going on. And if this does occur to other people, and you think it's the OPPT site, please let us know so we can keep checking, because these sorts of attacks can go on an ongoing basis and be quite problematic sometimes. But we do have people available to us who can sort this out, but we do need to know if it's happening or not.
And the people who are part of that website team are listening to the show, so I'm sure they'll be on it as we speak.
They will be, yep.
Checking to make sure that there's nothing going on there. Now he says he doesn't think it was our site. Okay. As I said, we haven't heard of that happening to anybody else. So I'm not sure what to do about that. And Heather can hear us, but she can't speak to us. We do have you in the Skype room, Heather, if...
shall we talk... Shall we talk about how David slew Goliath? Dee, do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, I think we need to tell that story. Yep.
Oh, wow, yeah.
For those of you who saw the IUV exchange document, it needs to be understood as a gift. It was a gift to humanity. And it needed to be, like any gift, accepted. And Dee, do you want to pick it up from here?
So I got a message on Skype. I'm going to start off a little on my personal side of this. I woke up yesterday morning and the world had shifted at some point in time and during the night. And I was all day yesterday feeling just kind of discombobulated, just like, wow, something is seriously going on energetically around me. Then I get a message from our wonderful Bee, who is heads up the translating team, saying that her son had a dream, and he wanted to tell me his dream, and that she was pretty sure that he had talked to Loie. That's Lois, Heather's mom. Who passed last week in his dream. So I said, yeah, of course. So I called, and he told me about this dream that he had. And in the dream, him and his mom are in Hawaii, and they're on a beach somewhere. And he said his mom was talking to a large group of people, and he says he knew in the back of his mind, like, it was OPPT people. And he doesn't really know that much. Like, you know, he's heard his mom talking, et cetera, but he's not, you know, at that point, been, you know, hugely educated on what OPPT is all about and what it is accomplished.
Can we just say at this point, Dee, that this is a 15-year-old boy?
He's 15 years old. Yes. Note that. 15 years old. So he says he's sitting on a big rock watching all the people interact. And he says, and a woman comes up to him. And she says she has short hair and it's kind of reddish brown, woman in her like 50s to 60s. And she starts talking to him. And she basically tells him that they need him to come back, that he had left, and now they really need him to come back because he's the missing piece of the group. And she kind of shows him a picture of almost like a person standing there, but there's like a piece, his right shoulder's missing. And she was like, that's your piece. That's where you need to be. You need to come back. And so we talked to her for a few minutes, and then she said, okay, well, I have to go get something. And she turned to walk away from him. And then she kind of paused facing away from him, and he said, the dream ended. So he said...
Real quick, Dee, one important detail. I don't think he didn't know about Lois passing away,
no,
right?
No, not at all.
He didn't know what she looked like either, right? And B showed him a picture of Lois, and he said, yes, that was her. That's the woman from my dream.
He said, like, take off the glasses, but yes, that is absolutely the woman who was in my dream. So his mom gave him the IUV documents. And he read them. And he read them so fast, and he turned back and he got it. Like she said to him, you can't possibly have read it. And he says, no, it's in code. You just have to read the code. And he said, just read. You don't even have to read the whole thing. Just read everything that is in bold in cap locks. He says, just read it. It's code. And he intrinsically got it. He understood it. He accepted it. And it was the one. And I mean, Heather's been talking about for a little while now, saying all it takes is one. Just takes one. And he accepted that gift. And he understood that gift. And literally, all day yesterday. Heather was the same. Her and I talked a couple of times. That she was just going through this huge energy thing. Same with myself. And there was a massive, almost like I said, shift in the energy yesterday before I'd even had the conversation about the dream at all. So then he writes this, and I'm going to read this out. Heather just posted it over to me. This is what he wrote, 15 years old. Said, Lois is our Neo. She had to go to the source by making the ultimate sacrifice. From the source, she decoded the matrix. But having left the world that we know, she could only communicate the newfound knowledge through an embodiment. To do this, she had to enter into my dream. And when she said, she has to show me something, she'll be right back, she showed me the decoded document.
I love that this kid's 15 and 15. He wrote that.
Yeah, he wrote that, 15 years old.
Mm.
It just blew my mind. Literally, I was like, oh my goodness. And so, yeah, just I can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to meet him. David, what, if you listen, I can't wait to meet you when you come visit your dad.
One thing that I want to read here too, Dee, from what you posted in one of the chats yesterday, back to the part where he said this is written in code. So this is directly from B. He said, this is written in code. It's the undoing decoding of the matrix that holds a simple absolute truth. It is so simple to understand. First page is all about how we be, and second about how the being of be or do does. And then he wrote, then he came to me and he said he feels so different, like a blindfold has been lifted off of his heart and he now sees, but there's a different type of seeing that he can't find the words to explain. 15. I mean, man, I got the chills when I was reading this.
Yeah. And that's for the clarification, there's some people in the chat room who are confused about the document we're talking about. We're talking about the UV document. You can find it on my website, LisaMHarrison.com, on Dee's website, removingtheshackles.net. Have I got that right, Dee?
Yep.
And American Kabuki as well, which is AmericanKabuki.blogspot.com.au, I think. Sorry, and any of those. And just
the notice. Heather just added in. She means the notice.
Yep.
The notice.
Yep.
The notice. And read it as it was, as said in there, that just read the capital letters, read all the capitalized words. And that's what he did, and that's what he got from it.
Well, now that we shared, we should probably go back and post this whole story so people can read it. Because I think this is the first time we've talked about it.
I posted some about it today. Hold on, I'm just pulling it up right now, the link, and I'll drop it in the room here so everyone can read the conversation between Heather and us and a few others. So
it's also on the front page of the optin.com website, the document itself. So there's plenty of places to find it.
I'll put it in the chat room.
But that's, you know, that's just the way some of us were reading a lot of the earlier documents as well. It's just, in a way, taking out, just highlighting all of the non-legal or the sort of legalese stuff, taking all that out, and just reading what was in common language. And that's where, for me at least, the impact of the document really hit home by doing that process.
Yeah, the old highlighting pen has an absolute value in that process.
Totally. Yes.
And you can do that with any of the documents. You can go through, and if you spend a little time just highlighting the bits you understand and then read just the highlighted bits, ignoring the rest, you know, the whole picture jumps out at you.
Well, there's a comment in the chat room that's specifically for Heather. Code is not transparency. Can you please comment, Heather?
Yeah, like if Heather wrote it, why does it need to be decoded? I think they misunderstood what we were talking about at that part.
Hey, hi.
Hey! Wow, hi, Heather.
Code is deception. It's consciously deceiving. What was done was a decoding. As it is bound, so shall it be unbound. So the decoding not done, the coding.
You were a bit shaky during that whole thing, so can you repeat?
So what she was saying was it was not coding, it was decoding. As it was bound, so it will be unbound.
Okay.
So decoding.
Well, actually, isn't that what he said? It's decoding the matrix?
Yeah.
With Reddit?
Yes, yes, exactly. That's where the misunderstanding came from, is that Heather's document was decoding the matrix, which was all in code.
Yes. Got it.
So just like in the film
where those screens run down in code, those green screens, that document decoded all of that.
Go ahead, Heather.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, just. Yeah, not really. Tell you now.
Yeah.
Oh, she's being zapped.
Sigh.
I'm about to go back to typing, Heather.
Yeah, now she's making drowning R2-D2 noises.
Oh, they do love to mess with her internet. So what is this? What did you guys all get that this means? This gift has now been accepted. The matrix has now been decoded. What did that mean for you? What do you guys get from it?
Party time central now.
I hear Bob mentally cogitating there. Bob.
That was the last thing that needed to be done. You know, the gift only needed to be accepted by one person on behalf of all of humanity. In order for the main final finale to be done, for the curtain to finally drop, so to speak, no pun intended, for the veil to drop. That's how I understand it.
Yeah, I view it as being, at the moment, we're still sitting in our slavery cell, but the door's open. And it's almost like just one person needs to notice, hey, the door's open.
And Heather just typed already happening.
She also said that the decoding began July 25th. And that David, hi David, then if you're listening, and thank you, darling.
Hey David.
Yeah. Nice work, David. Great stuff.
Yeah, yep. Love your work, darling.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we have a sleep, so you can bring some more awesome messages back to us. Get to bed.
Yeah.
And also, hey, some nice. You know, let's not forget Loey's role in this, yeah. And you know, just,
oh, absolutely.
Words. Don't go far enough.
Yeah, she's a very busy lady right now.
Now, for those of you who have been concerned and expressed your concern for Heather's emotional well-being as a result of Loey's passing, she accepts it, appreciates it, but I believe that she's in a fabulous place. She knows exactly what's going on and what Loey is continuing to do. And she's continuing her role in this grand finale. So not to worry. And we do have a lot of callers, guys. So we've managed to wing it through the first hour. Should we take some calls?
Yeah, let's.
Let's. Cool. Okay, we've got area code 323.
LA.
Area code 323.
Hi there. Sorry, I was on mute.
Hi.
Hi. How is everyone?
Everyone's pretty well.
We're good. Awesome.
Great. I actually have a question regarding the courtesy notices. So in the event that you file a courtesy notice, which triggers a contract, you're invoicing, and at that point you take your paperwork, turn it into a commercial bill in which you then put a lien on the property of the person that triggered the contract, correct? Is that correct?
Chris?
I'll let Scott take that one.
Yep, okay. I'm recovered. I fell off the chair.
Okay.
No. So basically at the moment I would say the process is follow through with the invoices through an overdue notice on the invoice through to a final notice on the invoice. And at that point, it's more than likely that there will be other invoices that are due. So the main thing I'm pushing at the moment is just keeping those invoices flowing and hammering those. The next part of the process gets a little bit more involved. It's not as simple as just filling out an invoice and referencing the terms and conditions. There is quite a process to follow on that. And in the next couple of days, I'm actually looking at trying to simplify that so that others can use it. And I think in all instances, we're hopefully unlikely to need them.
Okay, well, the second part of this question is, and this is really more of a question for Heather, maybe a Heather-Scott combo pack question, or answer, I mean. But since the UCC arm has been closed down in this dimension and other dimensions beyond, then how do we register this lien? I mean, if the whole thing has been collapsed, including the trust, then all we have really is our integrity. And so why go through this process if it's not there for us to file?
Well, I used the newspaper to make the lien publicly recorded. Uh-huh. So that's the tool I used and put it in the public notices section and made that go as far as wide as it was relevant. So for my particular instance, I was dealing with a body that was Australia-wide. I put it in an Australia-wide newspaper. A friend of mine had a parking ticket dealing with a local body. They put their notification of lien in a local newspaper, and the cost was dramatically different.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're what you call statutory law liens as opposed to a UCC lien, Scott?
No, I would. I ran away whenever I heard the word statutory. So the lien that I had researched had nothing to do with statutes. It didn't rely upon any form of statute at all. It was a lien that I researched that came from a gentleman whose father was blowing the whistle on the raids at Pearl Harbor before they occurred.
Yeah, so it's not done through UCC, that particular approach.
It can be recorded there, yes. And I chose not to. I chose to record it with a newspaper.
Okay, but the point our caller is making, I think, is actually one that's very relevant in that on paper, and in actual reality, but not in physicality, if you like, all of these systems has been shut down. And I just want to put something to you, Scott, that by an absolute necessity, we're having to pretend, along with the system, that those laws actually still exists to get the system's attention. We're doing it knowing that it's all rubbish, but it's just a game we have to play out at this point in time. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think, if you posted the that lien within the UCC registry as a recording tool, I would treat it as that. Unless Heather's got any better suggestions on that, that's the way I'd approach it.
In the chat room here, she said practical tools, courtesy notice, and invoices. Invoices have to be paid. Unpaid invoices ruins their credit scores. And then she laughs. And she was also asked the question, Heather, if everything is done, then why are we still going to work in the old slavery system? And why are we still using debt notes? Why is there still poverty? Why don't you give us some practical tools like how to monetize promissory notes? As far as I'm concerned, we are still economic slave, and you know this as well. She answers, why are we still going to work in the old slavery systems, and why are we still using debt notes? Her answer is, because you choose to. Quite simple. And she writes, why don't you give us some practical tools, like how to monetize promissory notes? They won't accept them anymore now that too many people know. That is what they told me back in 2011. She also writes, as far as I'm concerned, we are still economic slaves. You know this as well. No, that is not what I know, she answers. I do accept that this is the choice you have made to know. End quote.
Guys, it's just started absolutely torrential raining. Can you even hear me over the rain?
Yeah, it sounds quite pleasant, actually.
Good.
Yeah. But getting back to...
Well, I guess wouldn't the question be to Heather, then how does she pay for her bills? You know, through what type of currency? I mean, maybe it's... I mean, I'm sorry, I'm speaking up for that person that wrote in. But at this point, like, until we all organize and get together and decide our value can't be touched, we're still all paying rent or a mortgage of some sort or a phone bill to make sure our communications, our internets are still up. So we've got one foot in and one foot out, and I can see why the person would suggest that we need tools to help us bridge over to the other side. I don't see what would be wrong with that, personally speaking.
Yeah, the only issue with that, what was your name, by the way?
Tamara.
I don't. The only real issue with that is if you do it on any sort of large scale, you revitalize the old financial system. Essentially, what's happening, Tamara, is that the old system is being forced to shut down, and we're just in the waiting room. Unfortunately, that's
right,
a process
but I mean,
that has
is that
to.
Based on the events, right? Or is that? It's sort of
it's
kind of based on the events a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's based on really several things. One is the final actions of the cabal in attempting to roll out a new fake financial system, which will fail.
Right.
And this delivery of absolute data.
Mm-hmm.
And just what form that will take, I'm absolutely looking forward to.
But essentially, we are
still mucking around in their messy little system, and we just have to deal with what's in front of us on a day by day basis.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly I think the point the person in the chat room was making was on a spiritual level I do not accept either that I am in a slavery system. I am free. My spirit is free. Yet, at the same time, my physical body is putting down certain money to make sure that I still have a roof over my head, you know? And so, yeah, it's up to us to make that change. And actually, one of the things that I was thinking about, and this is something anybody else can toss around, is that we do have a system based on our own credit, but, I mean, literally based on credit and total transparency, but using those representations in total transparency and absolute truth, where people can use those tools to come together to build whatever projects they want to build that would be community enhancing. And, you know, not be awarded, you know, necessarily money, but be awarded on their ethics. Bringing in ethics, not using the usual tools of, you know, how much money we can pile up, but using the way we treat each other as a way of building credit in a system, and the fact that we have absolute truth also helps the credit in our system and gives more value to our system until we can make that step out of the representation and realize, you know, obviously that we are all the ones backing that value and we don't need that crap anyway. But there's got to be a tool to get us there, you know. And maybe that event will tell us that. And I'm hoping for that, but I'm also not waiting on it, you know.
Well, Tamara, you bring up a really good point in that I'm also not waiting on it. I mean, I'm going through that same internal process. I feel everything that you're saying, and I know it's coming from a really pure and an honest and authentic place. And everybody wants exactly what everybody's looking for exactly what you're talking about. And the person that was Skyping with Heather and a lot of people in the chat room as well. But I think that the biggest misnomer is that giving everybody a bunch of money, what we're waiting for right now is the old system to die out in order for something new to be reborn, right? So if everybody even is given some safety net or some amount of money, it's just going to get pumped right back into the system, and it continues to self-perpetuate the process.
Unless you change the formula, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, is changing the formula.
But Tamara, we are changing the formula right now. The formula is being changed. See, the thing is that right now all beings have access to a very limited set of data, at least consciously. So all we can do is judge the things that are happening in the surroundings and things that we see with our five senses, or see, feel, see, taste, touch, hear, whatever. And that's only enough to draw a partial conclusion. There's a much bigger plan playing out that we can't necessarily see just yet, but it's glorious. I have so much faith in my heart and know that whatever it is coming, and we're right there. And in the meantime, just like you, I'm not going to sit around and wait for it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to enjoy my life. I'm going to do things that don't take a lot of money to be able to do. I find the most joy and going outside and talking to people and giggling and smiling and hugging people and doing everything that I can to help others just become a little bit happier. And these are all things that I can do without having a whole heck of a lot of money. And these are the things that I'm doing to keep myself busy while I wait for this new paradigm to unfold.
I want to read Heather's response. All the old tools are now returned back to eternal essence. And I'm going to comment, and I hope, Heather, you don't mind if I comment on your words. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But I think I get the gist of what she's saying, because I'm kind of in tune, I think. All the old tools that they use for harvesting have all been returned back to eternal essence. In other words, no matter what they do, they could never revive that old system again. So,
that's wonderful.
All of those tools, she says, use them as you do. Replace them with prime exchange or direct exchange. No fear. They couldn't revive the old systems no matter what they do. That is what I do, she says.
Okay.
I use the old tools, but only insofar as I choose, and only while I do to change them. IUV exchange is the value that be, where all value is flowing right this moment of now. I am not waiting for it to die out. The formula has been changed. Every moment, make the use of the now tools. So, there's no fear, from what I'm gathering, there's no fear in them ever being able to revive this system. Those harvesting mechanisms have been removed from their use. So, they can't do that anymore. So, we can use the old tools as we see fit to change them and replace them with this direct exchange. So now's the time to really to go in there, boots on the ground, and start really doing, because they know that the landscape has changed. They don't know that you know. You understand? They don't know that you know. And they're counting and they're praying on the fact that you remain ignorant to that fact. But when you approach them and you come to them with no fear and you let them know what the situation is, that you are the holder of the value. Now, if I walk into the bank and I know that I'm the holder of the value, I'm the creditor, and I'm not the one that's coming down on my knees and begging for money, but it's vice versa, my behavior is going to be different in handling that situation as if I was, you know, as opposed to the sound that you normally hear kissing up to some executive's ass, right, to prove your worthiness. You understand? No more. We don't want to hear that sound anymore. You know, on either end. So this is how we move forward. We are the ones that have the power. You understand? Don't allow the intimidation. What I believe really needs to start taking. People need to start taking focus effort. Don't stand by yourself. Educate your friends and family. Get a group of you to go together. Create a consortium of people. Approach the bank and say, hey, this is what we'd like to do. Now, are you going to work with us? Because we're going to do it anyway. Because you have the value.
Mm-hmm. And from what I understand in the last week, we are seeing signs in terms of courts closing down. There's been a lot of stories that have gone viral on Facebook about, I guess, what's the equivalent of a magistrate's court here in Australia that are no longer operating on a Friday, for example. Insiders coming out saying they're destroying records in the courtroom, in the courthouses. We are seeing the signs. It's unfortunately, it's a slow, drawn-out death. But it's definitely happening.
I just want to be able to say that I'm not saying that I don't see the signs. I do see the signs. As I said, I feel like it's one foot in, sort of one foot out for people that do know. But a part of moving forward, as I was saying earlier, was, well, okay, yes, that's great. In fact, Bob, thank you so much for clarifying what Heather was saying and what you thought, because at this point, you know, if we are going to use some of those tools of representation, again, changing up that formula would mean everything's transparent. Instead of when you're born into this world, you're born into debt and you sign away your cargo, I guess, on your birth certificate, or your mother does. That actually have a birth certificate that issues you credit. Because when you're born into this world, that's what we're given anyways, this credit, this overabundance of land, this overabundance of food and water and beautiful people. We're given this body on credit. So that's a complete opposite of what we're going through right now. And then you have a transparency on top of that, which would mean that nobody can come in and cheat the system, which is exactly what's happening to Bitcoins right now. They're getting cheated because it's still not transparent. So, yeah, I do want to use those tools to help us better organize so we can take care of the day-to-day, change up the formula, and do things that actually make sense. I mean, it doesn't go with the flow that we're born into the world with all this abundance and then we have all this debt that we're carrying. It should mirror our world, nature, organic environment, which is full of abundance and full of creativity. So, yeah, I mean, let's use some representations at the same time. You know, I guess it's organizing.
She did add a little bit more. I want to read it.
Okay.
She said, if you allow the old tools to excuse yourself from doing, such as I will do when I get the old tools released to me, then you have not changed the formula. If you do and use any tools to empower your doing to change the formula, then you are replacing the old tools with the now tools. Did I lose everybody?
No, I'm with you.
Okay. No, we just lost Heather. That's what it was. Okay. I see the message popped up on my Skype that the call was disconnected.
Well, on the subject of Bitcoin, too, I mean, we talk about transparency. Who created Bitcoin and who controls Bitcoin? Because apparently, as far as I can tell, that is a hell of a mystery.
No one knows.
Exactly.
Very curious.
Well, I mean, I guess the part of the doing that she's talking about is actually orchestrating an event or some sort of organization that's transparent, not necessarily locked in a corporate structure with limited liability, but some sort of organization to be able to have a place where people can go and have, you know, I don't know what Heather means by the universal exchange, but I would like to know more about that so that way we can better be able to direct our energy with a more specific guidance or a specific nexus points, I guess, like, is what I'm trying to say. And that will help the flow. Because I think a lot of people are out here sort of wondering when the event's going to happen or wondering when this is going to happen, and things are changing all the time. It can be a little bit like, well, I guess I'll just stand here and hope to jump in at some. So it'd be, I don't know, nice to, what Heather said, be doing an instrument, those certain representations of transparency and credit where we can get the flow going. And that really would require other business people coming on board and saying, yeah, I like living in that world. That's a cool world to be in where, you know, you're actually, you know, credited and it's completely transparent. Yeah, let's go build this over here together. I can trust you, you can trust me. And that, as soon as that comes into play, it'll go out just as quickly, because it won't even be necessary anymore. It'll be seen for what it really is. I mean, isn't that a part of our doing on some level, or is there something else, another formula that we don't know about? Because then maybe that, if that would be told to us, we could, you know, design our energy around that. I'm open. I'm just suggesting one as an example.
I think it's beautiful. I think you should look. I imagine absent limit, and then I do what I imagine, and the tools that I require to do what I imagine, they just appear to enable me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with that. The only thing that you need. And as far as event or events go, I mean, if you look around, ask yourself what has been happening the last 3 months.
It's been a series of events.
Yes, I completely agree with you, and I have been watching that. Yes.
You're on the right path. All of us are. So just keep walking and experiencing the path. Everything you need, everything you desire and imagine to do, you'll have all the tools. They will all appear to enable you to do as you imagine.
Well, and on that level, I do agree with you, Heather. I do manifest pretty darn well. My life manifesting things that I need that come out of nowhere. And
yep.
And I'm very happy for that skill, and that skill is getting more and more refined as I go along. I'm more speaking on behalf of my brothers and sisters out there that are kind of still slumbering. It's more along those lines. Not necessarily, I'm
mm-hmm.
I could still always learn. I mean, so much more. So I say that humbly, but I do know the tools that you're talking about, and I do incorporate them. I'm just,
you know. It's about the intent when you use the tools, any tools. It's about intent. And I hear so many people say, oh, when I have the money, when I have the funds, then I'll mm-hmm. do. You go and you do. And all that, all the tools that you need, even the old tools, will be made available. So it's a matter of intent when you are doing. So if you, mm-hmm. I use the old tools insofar as I feel comfortable, insofar as I'm doing, if that's what is required, then that's what I use. However, I'm finding that I actually have other tools, and I'm going to do things not have used the old tools. So I'm actually shifting and pretty much use about 90% of now tools, and use approximately about 10% of the old tools. And that's getting less and less.
Okay. That's awesome. I mean, and...
Did that answer your question?
Well, you know, it absolutely does. And again, I hear you on that. I guess it's more along the lines of reaching the masses in that particular way, you know, or reaching other people that, I don't know, require more representation than those that don't, you know? So
that's not a signal of inadequacy. That's not a signal of not being ascended, quote unquote. That is,
mm-hmm.
it's just absolutely beautiful. There's nowhere to ascend from when you're eternal. So just do. And everything that you require will be there to enable you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, there's one or two people in the chat room who are convinced you've actually got millions of dollars stashed away somewhere, and you're living really, really well. And you just don't get it. You know, the people actually have to buy, you know, spend money to buy things. And I just want to say to them, that's not true. I mean, last week someone said that Heather had stolen all of our $10 billion each. And, so,
if you guys really want to know the truth, it is absolutely the opposite of what anyone thinks. And right now, talk about reconciling contrast. The tools that I was talking about, even that at this point. So really, I'm a few years ago, manifesting everything with tools. Only cast the situation or the circumstance of how my eternal essence has made it requires me to do so, because it's time for me to move on from those old tools. So
can you give the
situation here is, you know, so different than what people imagine that I'm in.
Can you give a real life example of what you said before about using 90% of the now tools and maybe 10% of the old tools? Just an example of you need something, how do you go about it if you're not going to use the old tools?
Okay, well, don't want to get that personal. Okay, let's do it this way. I live in a house with my family. I have 4 children and a husband. And the stress on the family situation from everything that's been going on over the years, okay, my husband is the absolute contrast to me. Absolute contrast. And you want a real life example? For a while now, and it apparently will become manifested tomorrow, is that I will not have a home. I will not have my children. And then out of the blue tonight, something manifested that I never even imagined. So
why would you not have a home and your children?
People want to think that I'm, well, like I said, you know, the work that we all do. You know, I may not have SWAT teams, but essentially reconciling an antichrist type of situation is, you know, pretty akin to being about as, you know, in a stressful situation as possible, but I don't see it as stressful. I see it as holding that contrast to keep me driving and inspired to do, because I know that there are people out there that are really burdened by, and I say by choice, because I'm sitting here in a situation that I don't talk about to anybody, and I just do. I didn't talk about it to my mom. I didn't talk about it to pretty much anyone, because it's irrelevant to me. And so I just keep doing, knowing that the only way to end this whole experiment and all of these illusions is to keep moving forward and finish it. So those who would like to believe that, you know, I'm living a very great life and this or that, I am living an absolute great life, but in a much different way than they could ever imagine. And it's not using old tools. So that's about as personal as I'll get right now. But, you know, just be careful about the presumptions that are being made on anyone.
On anyone. Good point.
I just want to say, Lisa, thank you so much for asking that question. And Heather, thank you for the clarification. I think a lot of people can be able to relate a lot more. And so I just want to say thank you for being vulnerable and trusting us to.
No, no. Thank you for opening the floor and setting the vibration for it. So thank you.
Okay.
And there's a lot of love for you in the chat room, Heather, at the moment. Thank you very much, Tamara.
You guys have been very emotional these last couple of weeks.
Thanks, Tamara. Great questions.
There's a lot to be emotional about the last few weeks.
Oh. It's a great feel.
Okay, we've got you back just for a moment, possibly. Is there anything else you wanted to say while you've got a clear connection?
No, just that, well, okay. Yeah, I love you guys. I love every single one of you. And right now I would like for everyone to know, no matter who's before them, no matter what situation they perceive that they're in, please. And I talked to Daryl Zelaney about this, is that really work with the energy. This is all about energy. Stay centered in eternal essence. If and when anything happens, any embodiment that's before you, wrap them in love. It's a measurable frequency. Generate it consciously at heart space and consciously flow it out from your magnetic field into theirs. Their eternal essence is waiting for it, okay? And it will receive it. So by design of all eternal essence and all the embodiments present at any given moment, when you speak and do to eternal essence in each embodiment. It is the same conscious. Recognize and engage that eternal essence conscious, not looking at them as a separate being, and you will be amazed at what manifests. So I love you all, and that's what I leave you with.
We love you too. Yeah, I had an experience on Sunday which was quite unique for me. We had a local festival here, and there were thousands of people down at the beach milling around market stalls and a stage, some performances on, and it almost became a mantra. I am eternal essence, absent limits. It was just playing in my head like a song. And I felt my energy really expanding. And suddenly, very suddenly, as I looked around the crowd, I saw everyone inside their own energetic egg. And I've never seen energy like that before. Everybody was encapsulated and separate. And It was very much egg-shaped. And there was this knowing that those eggs are on the verge of cracking. And it was really quite intense. Like my visual was heightened. Suddenly it was like the dimmer got turned up on the lights and everything just got a little bit brighter. I saw these eggs around everybody. And in that same moment, was the knowing. They're just about to crack. And that saying is just going around and around in my head like a broken record. I am eternal essence, absent limits. And when you say it like a mantra, it does do something. It really does. So that's my experience from the other day.
Wow. Really reverses the energy field.
Sorry?
That was the story you were trying to tell us earlier. That was the one that you were talking about in the chat room the other day. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, that I never got a chance to share, but there you go.
Well, I mean, if you follow or try, go out and try what I discussed about generating, you know, love. It is a measurable frequency. When you generate it and you consciously push it from your magnetic field into theirs, you can alter the magnetic and energetic patterns of any embodiment that is near you. Any single one. Because basically all the embodiments are eternal essence having fun and all these different embodiments simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And
I was just going to say that when you're doing something, if you're in that kind of I am frame of mind and you're aware minute to minute that the only way we're going to affect change is by energetically generating it ourselves, just being in that state of mind and around other people will affect them as well. Don't necessarily have to kind of force it out to them, just being in that state of mind, which plays back to the intent of doing, even using old tools. Now, the courtesy notice is an old tool. And, well, you know, the last few weeks, one of the things we've really put out there is to have the right intent when you use it.
Yeah.
You know, you're speaking to another version of yourself who just hasn't got this particular memo yet, and you want to deliver it to them and to help them and to be there for them, because we're all going through this together. And it's that intent that generates the expanded magnetic field that generates the transfer of that emotion to other people.
I know that no matter what I do, no matter what's before me, that I can generate and manifest whatever it is I desire. So I don't have any fear. I just do. And no matter what, I know that I can do anything that I imagine. So I consciously go every minute and play with the energy. I consciously go in and alter energetic patterns and alter embodiments, but only for the highest good of all, and only so that we're all having fun and an amazing experience. So instead of just knowing, I'm knowing and experiencing it. And that is so powerful. It manifests at the speed of doing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Let's take another call. I'm excited now based on what Tamara brought out. Area code 780. Area code 780 with the children in the background.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Is that me with the baby?
That's the one.
It's not my baby.
It's not mine.
Yes, that's baby Zach. He just finished feeding. So.
Hey, baby.
Hi, Zach. Okay, I've got a few questions, actually, and partially has to do with transparency. And, you know, I've noticed a lot of a lack of energy, especially over the last few days. Very, it's just kind of escaping me when it seems like everybody else is picking up. I guess I'm, you know, I guess I'm concerned. There's lots of positive energy flowing out there, but there's still so much suffering. And, you know, we all need to see some sort of light at the end of the tunnel. But my question, you know, was towards Heather and some about transparency, in that I know she had commented, I think it was about a week ago, that she was contacted by someone of the powers that were, and they were trying to negotiate this new financial system. But, I mean, there was a lack of transparency there. I mean, who was it? What was offered? What was negotiated? And it's sounding today like all of that is moot anyway. So if that's the case, like, why are we concerned with, you know, Nazera and it being used, you know, without the best of intentions against us? Did you catch all that?
I got the gist of it. I got the gist of it.
Okay.
So, can whoever's got all the noise, if you mute out, I can hear a little bit better.
Yeah, caller, if
yeah,
you hit your mute button, yeah, if you hit your mute button, that should tidy it up. We'll come back to you.
Okay.
As far as is that better?
Yeah,
you're not muted yet.
I'll mute you from this end, but I'll bring you back out.
Okay. As far as there's been a lot of people calling. There's been no negotiations, because in what I know is, how does eternal essence negotiate with itself? And everything's sitting in eternal essence, which is, you are all embodied eternal essence. So what is there to negotiate? You know, yes, a lot of people have been calling, and essentially they have all this restructuring they did, a shuffling of the cards, but they have no value in it. And they need the value. So that's what they basically are calling for. And others are calling to want do, also assisting, saying they have this value that they garnered from old systems. The point is that everything was taken back to eternal essence, so there is no value there. The value is all sitting with each of the embodiments. There's nothing to release. There's nothing to distribute. It's already distributed. It's a matter of acknowledgement and acceptance. That's it. It's an actual, the only thing that's left to do is doing the exchange. So if you're going to pay attention, pay energy into the suffering, then that's all you will see, and that's all you will know. That's all you will experience. If you recognize the suffering that's going on, but pay the energy into changing it, pay the energy into creating and doing, it alleviates the suffering, but you're not paying direct energy into the suffering. Does that answer your question?
He's muted.
Unmuted. Okay, great. I guess so, but the problem is that people aren't going to see the dividends in doing that, and that's what a lot of people are having an issue with, is that we're not seeing any kind of dividends in our being or our doing, right? We may know, yes, this is the absolute right thing to do, and yes, that pays us, but in real-world terms, we're not seeing that.
You know, it's funny because that's all I'm seeing. When these guys call and start wanting to communicate, especially after months and months of, you know, silence or hoping that things don't go public, you know, I know what that means. I know what it is that they want. I know what it is that they need. And you guys don't see that, you know. So at this point, that's what's being made visible.
And I can appreciate that, Heather, but for those of us, like, we've been following this for years and years, and my circle of friends, I've got another friend on hold. We definitely needed to get on to talk to you guys today. But where, you know, could we not have seen a recorded phone call with one of these powers that were, say, this is X person, and, you know, here's my recorded conversation with them, and that should be all the evidence you should ever need to know this is bring this all to legitimacy.
So that's what you want, is recorded conversations and transparency, which is what I've been telling each one that calls.
I understand.
And
but like I said, but Heather, my question was that who was it that you were talking to?
Sure.
All we were told was, you know, someone from the powers that were. And then
Let me answer that question first.
As soon as you said I'll answer that question, your line went, so start again.
Okay. From the Shang Dynasty, it was a man named Malik, who works with the Dynasty Office. So that's who the conversation was with, and it was short because I had the same internet problems as I do now. So a lot of it was just Skyping back and forth. And let's see here. The other call was from South America or Central America for Switzerland. I haven't had that conversation yet. They wanted to talk to me. I received that message on Saturday before Loewy transitioned. And I was told 2 weeks. They wanted to have a meeting. And that would be in line with having all the systems RFID chip compliant and basically readying everything. For the content or the meat, the content, the value into the old systems, the reshuffled old systems. Like I said, I haven't had that conversation yet. Foster Gamble's called. I haven't had that conversation yet. We keep missing each other. Who's the other one?
Swiss Indo? Yeah. Or is that
Swiss
is that
Indo? The... Yeah, Swiss Indo supposedly wants to have conversations. You know, the collateral accounts, the global trust. You know, and I've been very transparent. It's all of it is relevant. It was designed to fail, and they successfully failed. It was beautiful. So there's really no conversations to really be had at this point, other than if you really want things to move and have the value flow into your hands, they have to release, flow into their hands. They have to release titles. They have to release positions, release the falsity, release the veil. It has to be absolutely transparent. So really the only conversation, two conversations that I had was the prep conversation for Switzerland and the call with or the Skype communication with the Shang Dynasty. And it had to do, also Adnan. Adnan, exactly. What a great contrast to Molly. Adnan is supposed to has done a lot, you know, done supposedly to cause a lot of havoc. and the conversation I had with him was 3 hours long, and I believe Mike Shakenowitz in Norway was the one that had that. I don't know if you're and basically it was just Adnan kind of going on and on and on and on and on and on. And yet going on and on about the old systems and how he's in power and how he's doing this, he owns that. He's the one that's in control of everyone's value. And I don't know, you guys all know how I stand. The value is in all the beings. The value is the being. The doing is the exchange of that value. So yeah. I really don't resonate with Adnan at all. And that's why I haven't taken other calls from him. And, you know, Adnan, Jerry Berman, all these guys are just, you know, I see them as the embodiments of eternal essence. They played their roles out perfectly. It's now time to wrap it up. Great award-winning performances.
And please, I don't want it to be misconstrued that I don't absolutely love you and everything you guys are doing. Like, that's not it at all. I've been following this since day one, but it's been years and years in the making. And I know lots of people have talked about, you know, the energy exchange, and there's been lots of, you know, lift-ups and let-downs. And, you know, I just want to know, when are we going to tangibly see it? I know there's no date or anything like that. But, you know, hey, I'd be willing to quit my job today and be myself and do what I need to do. But, I don't have that much faith that everything is going to be okay. Well, you know, you heard my four kids in the background.
You've already been doing the prime energy exchange. That's what the OPPT tool was you guys experiencing prime energy exchange. But because it's really not been done before on a massive scale like that, people didn't identify what it was. However, the embodiments that play the powers that were absolutely did. And in fact, after the OPPT tool was retired or graduated into eternal essence, that's when all the phone calls started up and requests for contact, requests for meetings. So right now what I see is this next point that the people are coming out of it. And people are coming to the embodiments that played the powers that were in all the levels, which the highest levels, quote unquote, nobody has seen. And that's what's being made visible now, so that it can be reconciled. So what I can say is this: if you haven't seen that it's visible, I can tell you every piece of it has been visible. It's just a matter of connecting the dots. That is what is being done now.
Okay. So I don't want to take up a ton of time.
Heather, correct me if I'm wrong. And caller, what was your name again?
Dawn.
Dawn.
Dawn, yeah.
Don, I'm going to throw a scenario out, because knowing with what you know and what I know right now, okay, that the fictions are all foreclosed on, that there is no value other than what is embodied, okay, and that basically that they are operating on behalf of a foreclosed entity. Now, suppose you want to take possession of property XYZ, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would go and I would let them, you know, in complete transparency, these are the facts. You have been foreclosed on. You supposedly hold the title to this property, which I intend to take possession of. Okay? I know that you're foreclosed on. I know that I have the value, right, and the intent to take care of this property. Where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Open up a discussion. If they say, well, we don't know what you're talking about, inform them. Okay, now you're informed. Where do we go from here?
Right.
I'm requiring you to release these titles, to release any claims, because you really don't own anything. And if they say that they do, please provide the proof. That would be a conversation I think would be worth having. And the more conversations like that that you have all going all over the world, then you are transforming. Because anything that they try to, you know they're pretending. You know they're pretending.
Yep.
Okay, maybe they don't even know that they're pretending. Inform them. Look, the game is over.
Well, I can tell you guys in real world terms. I mean, I just last week I got a call on my work phone from a company requesting payment that I had paid on the due date, and it was 3 days later, and they were asking me where my payment was. That's never happened to me before. I've been able to go, you know, when it was necessary, a month later and make my payment without so much as a question mark. And, you know, it's happened to me on a couple locations now because I do my internet banking, and it seems like everybody's in a panic to get their hands on whatever money they can. I get that. The only other last point, I swear, was for Dee's post today when they were talking about David and you know, the decoding and that sort of stuff. You know, I feel so stupid reading some of those posts because I read that today and I was like, what the fuck am I reading? I have no idea what this is, right? So how do we get that to be just nice and transparent? Like, now that we've heard the story about it here tonight, that's great. But when it was posted, I was, like, thrown for a loop. I was calling my buddies, and I'm like, do you have any clue what this is about? Or, you know, and, like, I have a college education. I don't feel I'm a dumb person, but I was just, like, could not relate at all. I don't know how many other people felt that way.
And do you get it now?
Oh, I understand now, but what I'm saying is that it's, you know, like, those of us who are checking all this, you know, that, like, that wasn't transparent to me. That was, you know, it was put up as a blurb that I just totally didn't get without any kind of explanation or anything. And, you know, that's, to me, that's just not transparent. That's, you know, what am I trying to decipher here? What am I trying to get out of this?
Right.
So I don't know how many other people feel that way. No, I don't mean that it's something that's being covered up, but it wasn't until, you know, here 12 hours later tonight that we were on the phone call that we understood and could connect the dots to understand what was being said.
So the necessary, you know, background was in the article for you.
You know what, Don? I find that I get so pumped full of energy that I have a 20-sentence conversation in my head, and only about four of those sentences get out to everybody else, and they have to slow me down and say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And then I give them all 20 of them and they get it. So for me, it's a delivery issue. So I'll be more conscious about that.
I'd appreciate it because, like, you know, I'm behind you 100,000%. Like like I said, I'd be willing to quit my job tomorrow and just get out there and help educate people or build houses, or, you know, I'm an electrician by trade. I would gladly go and do my part if everything else was being taken care of. So I just need to see this thing come through to fruition because it's where we need to be.
You know, that's beautiful, Don. You're an electrician. Really look at this stuff with your experience in electricity. Electricity doesn't just, it's not created. It doesn't cease to exist. It always is. It's just a matter of manifesting it where you choose to have it. So, like, my iron isn't plugged in doesn't mean there's not electricity in my wall, kind of a thing.
Right.
So you have,
I get that. And I get a lot of, like, I don't know if it's me, but a lot of Star Wars inflictions from you, Heather. And, like, to me, that's kind of a you have to unlearn what you have learned sort of deal.
Really? I don't watch Star Wars or Star Trek.
Oh, I guess
we've got 90 seconds to go, and I just want to say that if we do go over time, it'll be in the recorded archive. But for those of you who are just listening live at Blog Talk, we will lose you. If you've called in, you'll be able to hear if we go over. So
thank you
for listening.
Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks a million, and much love to all, always. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Don. And
thank you, man.
Baby Zach. He sounds fresh. He sounds very fresh. Okay, guys, we're down to 60 seconds. So we only took two callers, but they were great calls, and I want to thank them both. They brought out a lot that needed to be said. And thank you to everybody who's joined us on the call. We've got Brian and Bob and Chris and Dee and Scott and Bill and Heather. Thank you everybody. Thanks for all the listeners. Thanks for the great Skype room, as always. Sorry, the chat room. See you guys all tomorrow.
Thank you.
For the Collective Imagination Show. So,
okay, bye.
See you tomorrow.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye for now. Thanks again.